You're listening to eDurus.com.
ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, continuing from our last session of Dars, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in one hadith, Asharun min al-fitra, that 10 things are from fitra. 10 things are from fitra. Fitra in the Arabic language means a natural practice, a natural doing, something that all of the Anbiya, the prophets, have done in their life. And so something which is very natural for human beings, that is called fitra. And all of these 10 items are in relation to purification, tahara, which is very important. Allahu yuhibbul mutahireen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only loves those that are pure and who are clean. And in fact, your recitation of the Quran, your salah, your hajj, that is all accepted when a person has maintained that high level of purification, what is tahara. And so these are things that are very, very important, we have to understand. Sometimes we just come to the masjid and that is it. Not realizing that what you're doing is not accepted. And so certain things have to be maintained, that a person needs to look after his body. In the last session we covered a few things that were mentioned in the hadith, as-siwak and halqul ana. Another very important ruling in the hadith that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned is qassu sharib. Qassu sharib. And qassu sharib, again, for the mothers and sisters listening at home, it's more to do with the men folks and not the women. But khair, if your maharim at home don't look like how Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described the men to look like, then of course you can encourage them to make amal upon the sunnah. And so sharib is an Arabic word. It means mustache. It means mustache. In the Arabic language, the word sharib comes from the root words shariba. And shariba means to drink. Shariba means to drink. That's where we get the word sharab, something that you drink. So when you want to drink something, of course your mouth has to open, your lips have to open. And so that's where you get the word sharib. the hair, facial hair, that is above the upper lip. And so in the English language, that is known as the mustache. So in the Arabic language, you call that sharib. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, qassu sharib. Subhanallah, what a beautiful religion. How Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains to the followers how their bodies must be maintained, how their faces must look like. Kitni khubsurat baat. And qas means to clip or to trim. Qas means to shorten, to clip or to trim. All can be accepted in the translation of this word qas. So qassu sharibi. And this is a natural practice. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said to shorten your mustache. This is something very, very important. It is unhygienic. It is against the sunnah. It contradicts the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a person to have this long, thick, bushy mustache. And it's funny how people say, ke, you know, sign of a man. Where do they get that from? Sign of a man. So you have this very long tash, and it's so long. It's like that chap in the Guinness Book of Records, Ram Singh Chauhan from India. Ram Singh Chauhan from India. And his mustache is 14 feet long. Astaghfirullah. 14 feet. So from one end to another end, you measure it, it's 14 foot. Ram Singh Chauhan. And he puts himself in the Guinness Book of Records. This is completely in contradiction with the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not a sign of a man. You're not a macho man that you have a long tash, mustache. That's not a sign of a man. And you go to some parts of India even today, and if you don't have a mustache, they take you to be very strange. Very strange. And I had an opportunity to speak to somebody, and he said to me, oh, Mauli Sahab, you know how it is with our lot, and they want to sort of find out, you know, what kind of a Muslim you are, which sect you belong to. And Khair, speaking to him, he says, oh, well, you see, a Deobandi usually gives away his exposure by the fact that he will wear a very short izar, and they have a very thin layer of mustache, or the mustache is very shortened, and so he's a Deobandi scholar. Tawbah. And so they just know people, you see, ye tablighi. So but how do you know these guys are tablighis? Oh, you see, tablighis, they don't have a layer of hair here, and they have a short izar. Now, can you imagine, if you follow the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people make a mockery. I have actually seen, with my own eyes, muftis, so-called muftis, and that their mustache covers the upper lip. Astaghfirullah. Tawbah, 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 tawbah. What kind of a representation are you giving to the community? That your hair actually covers the upper lip. And you know, in America, there is an organization called Mustachiology. It's not a joke, seriously. Aap samjhenge ki ye Mauli Sahab aaj usne khaya khana nahi khaya waise hi phenk raha hai. Nahi. Mustachiology. You know the Americans, Mustachiology. Ab ye Mustachiology kya hai? and they promote the different trends and fashions, and then you get this pencil moustache, and then you get this Fu Manchu moustache. Have you heard of that? Ahmed, Fu Manchu. And so the Fu Manchu moustache means that you shave everything here, and then you have a moustache, and then the side of it dangles down, and you know the Fu Manchu, it just dangles, the hair just dangles here to the side, and you have no hair. It's a Fu Manchu moustache, and then you get the handlebar moustache, and then you get the English moustache, and then you get the lampshade moustache, and then you get the toothpaste moustache, and Allahu Akbar. Kasi mustachiology. But look at the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How beautiful it is. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, مَنْ لَمْ يَأْخُذْ مِنَ الشَّارِبِ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَأْخُذْ مِنَ الشَّارِبِ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. He who does not take from his moustache is not from amongst us. Imagine that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is excluding that man from his team of followers, that he is not from amongst us. Allah will accept that face which is described by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A Muslim face is a very different face. From a mile you can tell this man is a Muslim. Subhanallah. From a mile, any ethnicity. But from a mile you can tell that this man is a Muslim. I have the Quran in my hand and I have seen this. Why? Because at the Islam Information Center we have so many people who came to embrace Islam. And you see their faces prior to their accepting and entering the fold of Iman and Islam. There was this darkness in the spiritual language. In the spiritual language, Benur, there was this darkness. There was no Nur. But the minute, Allahu Akbar, it's like as if somebody just, if I tell you to switch on the lights and the chandelier lights go on. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, completely different man. Kya hua? And so even the face of a believer is very different. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes as far as describing the face of a believer. That your upper lip should be visible. Your upper lip should be, this boundary line should be visible. Very, very important. And of course, if you have a thick layer of a bushy moustache, then eventually this layer will also be covered. You've seen around you some people, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, it is part of their belief that they are not to remove any hair from their body. And then they have to turn and twist and turn, like dreadlocks ki tarah. How clean is Islam? How pure is Islam? In the hadith which is narrated in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad in Tirmizi Sharif, Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala an has mentioned, كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُصُّ أَوْ يَأْخُذُ مِنْ شَارِبِهِ. Allah's Nabi would take, or that he would trim or shorten from his moustache. And then he said, وَكَانَ خَلِيلُ الرَّحْمَانِ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَفْعَلُهُ. He said that my father, the friend of Allah, the friend of Rahman, Ibrahim alayhi salam would also do this. So they didn't have a thick layer of bush hair face. And so this is something which is very, very important for us to understand. Dr. Quell Feather, a Portuguese scientist, he did a research And he said that there are hormonal glands on the upper lip for the males, for the men folks, hormonal glands. And that these glands are actually connected to two very important sections of the human body. One to the brain, and secondly to the erectile functions of the men folks. And he said that in his research, he found out that these glands need to be exposed and also to be kept moist. Also to be kept moist. Ajib. And so that is why in Sharia, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we are required to do wudu, when we do wudu, we have to also put water in the mouth. And in fact, gargling, madmada and istinshaq, they are farz in ghusl. Say yeah. In ghusl it is farz, no? In wuzu it is sunnah. But in ghusl farz, this is important. You have to do it. Put water in your mouth and put water in your nose. Istinshaq and madmada, you call this in Arabic. And imagine the connection that this man who's a non-Muslim came up with this research. And you have a lot of great doctors and scientists in that part of the world. I recall meeting a senior cardiologist in Portugal, a very good doctor. And I met him and he gave me a leaflet. He was not a Muslim. And he said to me that this leaflet, it's in Portuguese, but it explains to you the best method of sleeping. The best method of sleeping. And I opened it up, and there, in a diagram format, there was a man sleeping, and he was sleeping exactly that which is taught to this ummah by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Put your right hand this way and turn to your right and slightly fold your legs initially when you start to sleep, because your heart is to the left section, and this is the most safe position or posture for a person to take when he's sleeping. Ajib. And I said to him, I said, you know, this is something that is explained to us in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or a description that is given to us, how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to sleep. And so of course, when you have long hair, strands of hair in your mustache that cover your upper lip, then you have bacteria that is there. And with bacteria, of course, when you eat food, there's every possibility that that bacteria will go in your mouth, in your stomach, and it will affect you. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, your face, certain parts of the face should be very clean. Should be very clean, especially in reference to the men folks. And so Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that. So you will find amongst the people of Iman that their mustache is short and trimmed. In fact, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar kana mutashaddidun bis sunnah, a man who was very strict in following the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is said about him, kana yuhfi min sharibihi hatta yunzara bayad al-jild, that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an would go so extreme and so intense in his trimming the mustache that you could even see the white skin of Abdullah ibn Umar. You could even see the white skin of Abdullah ibn Umar. And so this is the hukam of a mustache. So forget your, you know, lampshade mustache and your Fu Manchus and your pencil mustache and all your mustache by. Follow the sunnah. Follow the sunnah. To the least, at least a man should have the upper lip boundary completely exposed. And he should not have a very thick layer bushy mustache. They should have the habit of actually trimming and keeping it slightly thin. That is the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One masla is, can you completely shave off your mustache. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh is of the opinion that no, you shouldn't completely shave it off. Completely, no. That is the opinion of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh. Of course, a thin layer, that's fine, but completely, no. And remember, that is the fiqh of Imam Malik. But as for the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa and from the Ahnaf, we have one great Hanafi scholar whose name is Imam Tahawi. Imam Tahawi rahmatullah alayhi, a great scholar. And Imam Tahawi says there is no issue even if you were to shave it. So even if you were to shave it, there is no problem. And no offense meant here, huh, my brothers. In my opinion, this is my opinion. This is not a fatwa. Please don't misquote me. In my opinion, you look 10 years younger when you have no mustache, or, you know, very thin layer. 10 years younger. Okay? You look 10 years younger. Well, the best judge of that would be your wife if you're married. Go and ask her. But certainly, this is the hukam of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. قَصُّ الشَّارِبِ Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam speaks about removing your pubic hair, doing siwak, and then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam speaks of mustache. So these are some of the masail pertaining to how you should look after your face, and that it should not be a very thick layer of hair there, and why that is against hygiene also. And another wisdom to that, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had noticed that the mushrikeen were of the habit that they would keep a very long mustache. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not like that. And khair, everything what he said is from Allah. So this is the hukam of Allah. This is the hukam of Allah. Another very important ruling in Sharia is al-khitan. Al-khitan. Al-khitan, in the Urdu language, we call it khatna. What do we call it? Khatna. And in English, we call it circumcision. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam talks about khitan. And the scholars have mentioned that this is a salient feature of Islam, a symbol of Islam. And so what it means is that, say that in a city, all of the Muslim community decided that we will omit this sunnah. We will omit this sunnah. We will not do circumcision. Then the entire Muslim community will be sinful. Entire Muslim community will be sinful. And so it is a symbol of the people of Iman. Circumcision. Now just to look at some of the Islamic ruling, according to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, circumcision is sunnate muakkada. What is it? Sunnate muakkada. According to Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayh, it's wujub. What is it? It is of wujub, that you have to. It is wajib, according to him, wujub. But Imam Abu Hanifa says it is sunnate muakkada. Now, again, it's not a prerequisite for a man who wants to embrace Islam that you put a condition forward that no, you have to, you know, cut a rabbi. Why are you putting him off? Why are you putting him off? I met a person here and he said, for years I wanted to become a Muslim, but I could not embrace Islam because of the fear of circumcision. Allah, why, what are you doing? You don't have to do it. It's sunnate muakkada and khair. If you don't want to do it, no problem. But at least testify to the kalima and become Muslim and pray your namaz. Enter the fold of Iman and Islam. So these are important masail that we need to learn. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam also carried out this amal of khatna and circumcision. In the biblical text, it is mentioned that Jesus was circumcised. Our great late Ahmad Didad would famously quote in his debates, Well, how can I believe Jesus to be the Son of God when your Bible says that Jesus was circumcised? God circumcised? What does he say? God circumcised? And everybody would just stay quiet. Allah give him Jannah, why? Allah give him Jannah. What a great scholar he was. Sheikh Ahmad did that. I still remember him saying that. And often he said that, let me tell you one thing, the shortest sentence of the Bible, and he would say, Jesus wept. This is the shortest sentence of the Bible. Jesus wept. So he would say, God crying? God crying? What is this? What language are you speaking? Jesus was circumcised and Jesus wept. And he would say, come to Allah. Come to a great da'i that he was. Allahu Akbar. So these are the masail. Khair, the first man to carry out circumcision was none other than Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is mentioned in the hadith that Allah continuously tested Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. He was 80 years of age. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to test him. And this order of circumcision was put forward to him. At that age, himself in a location called Qadum. In a location called Qadum, nobody was there except for Ibrahim alayhi salam himself. He himself carried out circumcision. Ajib. What a Nabi he was. And he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever you tell me, I am prepared to do. I want to be quick in your obedience. I want to be quick in your obedience. Whatever order you give me, Allah, I am prepared to carry out. There is no pain when you look at the love that I have for you. That is why he is Khalilullah. Subhanallah. Ibrahim Khalilullah. And so that was Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And so there are great benefits. Now when should we do khatna? There is no specific time. Any time. But the main thing that you have to look at is the child's health. The child should be healthy. And the earlier the better, the younger the child, it is better. Before the age of puberty, and nowadays, mashallah, with the technology and the anesthetic that we have, it's virtually pain-free. I say like that, Dr. Sam. So it's quite there, but if it's done when you're young, it's fair enough. And so we are talking about male circumcision here. All these masaila, male circumcision. As for the benefits, scientifically, oh, bahut. I remember I was reading one book, and this was a research that was written in the Wall Street Journal in the article in the year 2005. And they said that circumcised men are less likely to be infected by HIV and other diseases. Circumcised, khatnawal, as compared to those that are uncircumcised. And they actually carried out a research, especially in Africa, where you have a very high level of AIDS, HIV. And so you had a group of thousands of people in South Africa. And they carried out this research, and it was a significant breakthrough for them to realize that the almost a 90% prevention of HIV is just in circumcision. Imagine that. That is why today in America, 50% of the children that are born are circumcised. The doctors will circumcise them. And these are non-Muslim people because of what they have studied. 50%. Read up the material by Abdul Hushyar. 50% American children, their parents will opt for circumcision because of what they know. Subhanallah. And circumcision actually means to remove the slight skin from the top, the foreskin. And that is why all your UTIs and your urine infections, because if you have that skin that is there, generally when you do peshab, when you do urination, it accumulates around that skin and eventually it is inflamed and infections are there and all sorts are there and you have to run to the doctors again. Why? Because there's filth there. There is filth there. And as a Muslim, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So it's a prevention for HIV, for all your UTIs and your STDs and pata nahi kya kya hai, and even your, for the women's cervical cancer. The statistics show that a lady who is married to a man who is circumcised will most probably never have cervical cancer as compared to that lady who gets married to someone who is uncircumcised. And the percentage they give was 2,000 times, 2,000%. And this was in the New England Medical Journal. How clean and beautiful Sharia is. As for your, and you also get your penis cancer, your penile cancer. Virtually, if you are circumcised, there is no wujud of penile cancer for a man who is circumcised. In the last half century, they collected a data of 50,000 men. 50,000 men. And they were shocked all around the world, including Muslim world, including whole world, those that suffered penile cancer. Nearly all of them were people who were uncircumcised. Nearly all of them. And so this hukam, my respected brothers, is a very important ruling. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained to us how we should look after the mustache, and also khitan, circumcision, is a very important ruling in Sharia. Although in fiqh Hanafiya it is classified as sunnati muaqqada, but it is considered to be one of the great symbols of Islam. So four have been covered from amongst the 10 that has been mentioned in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Ya Allah, hame jannat mein jagah de de. Ya Malik, hame jannat mein jagah de de. Ya Allah, jahannam ke azab se hamari hifazat farma. Allah, tu humse razi ho ja. Allah, bimariyon se hamari hifazat farma. Ya Allah, jo log yahan aaye hue hain, khususan Ya Allah, Jumah ka din hai, duniya ke kisi bhi kaam mein Ya Allah, shaitan unhe wahan mashghool kar sakta tha, lekin tere deen ke saath muhabbat, Quran ke saath muhabbat, aur masail ke saath muhabbat, hadith ke saath muhabbat ki wajah se Ya Allah yahan aaye hue hain. Ya Allah, inki hifazat farma, daayin janib se, baayin janib se, upar se, niche se. Ya Allah, har ek ki naslon ki hifazat farma. Ya Allah, inki aulad inki aankhon ki thandak bane. Ya Allah, fitne ke zamane mein, Ya Allah, sardi ke zamane mein, Ya Allah, Allah ke ghar mein baithe hue hai, Ya Allah, hamari is dua ko qabul farma. Allah ke rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam ke sadqe mein, wasile mein, Allah hamari dua ko qabul farma. Allah hame mustajab ud-da'awat mein se bana de. Allah hame mustajab ud-da'awat mein se bana de. Ya Allah, khususan is majlis mein jo baithe hue hai, Ya Allah, jo bimar ho unko shifa de de. Ya Allah, inki jo pareshani ho, Ya Allah, us pareshani ko dur farma. Ghar ki koi takleef ho, Ya Allah, us takleef ko dur farma. Ya Allah, inko duniya mein bhi, Ya Allah, tamam khair ke darwaze inke liye khol de. قبر میں بھی یا اللہ ان کی قبریں اور ہماری قبریں روضت من ریاض الجنہ بنے, اور آخرت میں ہمیں جنت میں بلا حساب کتاب جگہ مل جائے. وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وازواجہ وذریاتہ واہل بیتہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین.